And we have on the line Sarah Barksack, and she is from the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Good morning, Sarah. You're on the air.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling. So you're in Tallahassee right now.
Yes, I am, at the Public Service Commission.
And what are the meetings being held for?
All this week, both Florida Power and Light and Progress Energy of Florida are before the commission asking them to approve ratepayers to pay in advance for almost more than actually $500 million to potentially build 4 new reactors in Florida.
Now, we're familiar with the one that's being built. I forget where it is, near Tampa.
Yeah, that's the Levy County reactor.
The Levy County.
Yes, that's Progress Energy of Florida's proposal to build 2 new reactors there.
And where are the other 2 being proposed for?
Florida Power and Light is proposing to build 2 more reactors at their existing Turkey Point nuclear plant, which is about 20 miles from Miami.
And how far away are we from these projects actually starting?
Well, these projects are many, many, many years down the road. Progress Energy of Florida had originally estimated that they would like one of the reactors to come in online in 2016 and the other one to come in on 2018, but they have experienced some serious delays. And actually, that's one of the questions that's been asked today or during the week of questioning is, okay, so you've had a delay. When are these things going to come online? And we haven't gotten that answer yet. In Florida Power and Light's case, they're earlier on in the process than Progress is, and they are estimating potentially having their reactors online in 2018 and 2020. But they, too, are experiencing delays because both of these utilities have chosen a reactor design that's never been built anywhere in the world. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is the federal agency that needs to license these plants, is dealing with now the 17th revision of this design. And so there is a delay for all utilities that are pursuing, it's called the Westinghouse AP1000 nuclear reactor design. So, again, that's a question we'd like to know. How long are these delays?
Now, in your latest press release, I read that you were saying, per the extensive and current information, it's showing that there are very high risks of building new nuclear reactors, well, anywhere, but, you know, you state in Florida. What are these risks that would be associated with it?
Well, put it in context of Florida families and businesses. Basically, people are being asked to pay now for these reactors that may or may not ever be built. And the risks that we've identified through our witnesses, Dr. Cooper and Mr. Arnold Gunderson, are fairly extensive. They deal with the fact that there has been a drastic decline in demand in Florida that is projected for the long term, not just the next year or two. Couple that with the fact that natural gas prices have plummeted. And that is also looked to be not just a near-term development, but something in the longer term. And, I mean, that's good news to have natural gas prices fall. And then also the other risks involve the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, there are some serious licensing delays or regulatory hurdles, you could say. Levy County site has identified numerous environmental issues of concern. They also have some geologic problems with the site that potentially may prevent Progress Energy from even building there. But unfortunately, ratepayers are on the hook now because of the bill that was passed by the Florida legislature a few years ago that allowed for this paying in advance for nuclear reactors. And then Turkey Point, because they're very early on in the process, Florida Power and Light is likely to have serious environmental issues to overcome at the Turkey Point site. In addition to the fact that, you know, the Miami area does get hit, unfortunately, by hurricanes a lot, and that is an issue that we're concerned about as well.
It seems to me that 4 nuclear power plants in such a small area range, I mean, is somewhat ludicrous. I mean, is that normal? Is that the speed that nuclear plants are being built at nationwide?
Florida is the only state that has that many nuclear reactors proposed. In the neighboring state of Georgia, Southern Company's Georgia Power is proposing two new reactors. In Alabama, I guess the closest comparison was that Tennessee Valley Authority intended to build four new reactors at one time at their Bellefonte site, but because of a number of obstacles that have come up, they have now scaled that back to only one. So you are completely correct, Emily. It's boggling to think that one state is pursuing four different reactors. And, you know, the estimates for these reactors is equally boggling. You're talking in the neighborhood of $18 billion for Florida Power and Lights and $18 billion roughly for Progress Energy. That's a lot of money coming from Florida families and businesses to pay for something that honestly we don't think will actually ever get built, but yet we're all going to pay for it if the commission allows these costs to be incurred. And this is a process that will happen every year. This isn't just a one-time deal, but because it's so early in the process, that's why we're here at these hearings and intervening, because we can really make a difference now if the commission makes the right decision. We can save ratepayers' dollars before these utility costs spiral out of control.
Is the feeling that you are being listened to and that the opposition is being listened to, or is it something that looks like it's really being pushed through heavily by the industry?
I would actually say that both of those comments are true. Those observations are true. We are being listened to. We are not the only intervening partner. There are actually some business interests at the table who are raising very similar concerns to ours. They're very concerned about what their businesses are going to have to pay for these reactors that may never get built. And at the same time, though, you have very powerful utilities with Florida Power and Light and Progress Energy trying to make their case. And I think, you know, I think most Floridians have been following the news that there has been a lot of unpleasant and disappointing developments going on at the Public Service Commission. So obviously the influence that these power companies have is really difficult to deal with. I mean, this is a David and Goliath struggle, and we're definitely playing the David role these days.
Yes, and it seems, I think initially we thought Charlie Crist was going to be quite an environmental person to have, and he's sort of joined the Goliath team somewhat, hasn't he?
Yes and no. I mean, recently with his decision, along with the siting board, his cabinet, to approve the Levy County reactors for siting that plant there and overlooking the massive impacts to wetlands and to the surrounding environment and ultimately to the Floridians' wallets, that was really disappointing. You know, overall, we've been very pleased that he's been a champion on climate change, but unfortunately, you know, he just shifted over to nuclear power, and that's disappointing. But we're hoping... and we're really working hard, and that's one of the things we're raising here, to show that energy efficiency is first and foremost the measure that needs to be pushed. And we'd love to see Governor Crist more active in that role and also embracing renewable energy, which he has fully supported in theory, but we haven't seen things play out as we'd like.
Sarah, hi, I'm Vicki. And
yes.
Co-host, a point that wasn't made that I think should be made is David wins over Goliath in the end.
Thank you so much for reminding me of that as we go into today. And I'm actually, our witnesses are going to be on shortly, so I am going to have to bid farewell for now, but I very much appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Good luck with what you're doing out there. We really appreciate it. And actually, we do have Stephen Smith trying to call in as well, so we'll definitely let you go. And thank you. Good luck, and keep us posted.
Thank you. We will. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So stay tuned. We do have Stephen Smith, who's the executive director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. He's going to be calling in also in the next minute or so.
Emily, this is such an important issue. And, you know, as we have seen so many times on our show, that when people do call and write their legislators, it makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference about the way they vote on issues.
Yes, and I think this is so important because nuclear power is nothing to play around with, as we know.
No, and as we know, too, after all these years, they still don't know what to do with the waste. It's no less of a problem now than it was in the 60s when you used to hear about nuclear waste all the time as a big problem. And it uses enormous amounts of water. The amount of water it uses is just phenomenal and very, very unsustainable, and especially in a state or in a world where water has become more of a precious resource than ever, more of a scarce resource than ever. Using it, wasting it to create nuclear energy is really, really foolish.
And as Sarah was mentioning, you know, we're building nuclear power plants in areas that are prone to hurricanes is almost insanity. You know, if there is an explosion or a leak, the repercussions are so horrendous. Is it really worth it? And why are we, you know, spending all this money and these resources into that when we could be developing safe energy sources?
Yeah, and also, you know, we hear so much, there's so much fear the past, since 9/11, of terrorist attacks.
Exactly.
That's another, you know, we're wide open for terrorist attacks if we have nuclear plants all over the place. And the mining of uranium is not sustainable because there's only so much uranium. You know, they think nuclear power, you know, we have it forever. But the mining, I have heard, is a dirty process, but you have to move tons and tons and tons of earth, and then there's only so much of it to begin with. And, you know, there's something a little old-fashioned, in a way, about the mentality that wants nuclear energy. You know, we know so much more today than we knew when nuclear was first invented, came on the scene.
And I think a good question would always be, would you like to live near a nuclear power plant?
Great point, Emily.
And I think most people would probably say no, and then if we really look into it, it doesn't really matter how close you are. The effects are going to be very, very far-reaching if
yes.
something does happen. You know, we live with such caution, for example, with cigarettes and tobacco smoke, the big ifs and ifs of being exposed to it, when we have something far more deadly, potentially far more deadly, right on our doorstep. I think to be trying to build four more plants.
Now, I have a friend here in Sarasota whose thyroid was damaged. She grew up in Hungary, and her thyroid was damaged from Chernobyl. And I don't know my geography well enough to know how far that was from Chernobyl, but that was quite a ways. Are other callers on the line now?
Yes, we have Stephen Smith, and he's the executive director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Stephen, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much for calling in. Stephen, tell us about the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. What is the organization, and what are your goals?
Well, we are a regional nonprofit energy and environmental advocacy organization that works to reduce the basically the environmental footprint of how we produce and consume energy in this country. We are strong advocates for energy efficiency, cleaner technologies like renewable energy, solar, wind, clean bioenergy, and we work to try to oppose dirtier, more risky forms of power, such as dirty coal-fired power plants or risky nuclear power plants.
So right now, a lot of the focus, we just spoke to Sarah Barsack. She is in Tallahassee at the hearings. A lot of the focus is on the nuclear power industry and the plans to build the four new plants in Florida. What do you see as being alternatives to us plunging into that?
Well, the clearest alternative, the most important alternative, is energy efficiency. We have not seen the kind of commitment from the utility industry to make investments in squeezing more work out of each kilowatt hour, making sure that consumers are given the best possible opportunities to use energy as efficiently as possible. The other issue is that the demand that was initially used to justify the need to build these nuclear power plants has largely disappeared. And so what is happening now is that the utilities are trying to get these large, very expensive power plants into the rate base because they can get a guaranteed rate of return on that at the ratepayers and consumers' expense, even though it is unclear that the power is necessary from these facilities. So we believe that energy efficiency, first and foremost, will continue to moderate that demand, and then we believe that Florida should diversify the power that is needed by encouraging greater use of renewable energy.
Now, how open, it seems ridiculous, we live in the Sunshine State. We, as far as I can see, virtually don't utilize the solar power that we have and could be using and the billions that could be being invested in that. Are we actually seeing a shift towards that, or is it just a lot of talk and running around in circles going on?
Well, there have been some projects that have been announced in Florida that are important steps down the road. Florida Power and Light has announced a couple of solar facilities that they are developing that use the photovoltaic technology, or PV, which is basically solar panels that collect sunlight and turn them into electricity. They're also looking at a project down on the southeast part of Florida where they're using concentrating solar, where they use mirrors and troughs to reflect the solar's energy to heat up a liquid that then is used to generate electricity. Those are important projects. What is missing is there is not a clear commitment by the utilities nor the state government and the Public Service Commission, the governor, and others to really make solar a key part of the mix in Florida. There are policies that could do that. One of the most important is a renewable energy standard that requires the utilities to diversify their portfolio and open a small percentage, maybe 10, 15, 20%, depending on how it's developed, to let cleaner renewables in, and solar power would certainly be one of those renewable energies, as well as looking at bioenergy from some of the agriculture waste that Florida generates and others. And by diversifying that portfolio, it would create the market pull to really grow the markets in Florida that would allow things like solar power and others to really take hold. The utilities largely are only doing just enough to sort of convince the consumers and placate the politicians that they're dabbling in it, but they're not seriously committed at the level that needs to happen. Now, they're seriously committed at building nuclear plants, and they're standing there before the commission asking for basically what will amount to an $18 billion commitment. But they don't have the same level of commitment to advancing renewable energy in the state, nor do they have the same commitment to advancing energy efficiency.
What about the feed-in tariff like they do in Germany? Do you know about that?
Yes. Feed-in tariff would be a valuable tool. It can, and it has in Germany and Spain, led to a tremendous amount of development of the market. We as an organization see a feed-in tariff as an important policy tool and one that should be looked at. And we have had conversations with providers and officials about that. The tricky thing about a feed-in tariff is that the price of solar continues to go down, and there has been some pushback against feed-in tariffs in some states where you lock in a price and then the price of solar goes down and then the market sort of overheats, which means that there's a higher price being paid than needs to be paid to get the renewable energy brought in. But in the case of Florida, we're so far away from overheating the market, I think having some form of a feed-in tariff, and the municipality like Gainesville Electric has actually got a program going where they have a feed-in tariff, that is a good thing. I think what we as an organization are advocating for is a combination of setting sensible targets to where there are goals for renewable energy market penetration to be established, and then using mechanisms like a feed-in tariff to get to meet those goals. And that way you get the best of both worlds, where you're able to actually get the penetration you're looking for, and then selectively use a tool like a feed-in tariff to help grow the market.
Now, is this just a pipe dream, or is there an actual possibility of this?
Well, there's absolutely a possibility that there will be a requirement that a certain percentage of power comes from renewable energy. Roughly 27 of the 50 states have already passed that. The federal government is looking at it now. The House of Representatives has passed a bill that has it as part of the bill. We don't think it's strong enough, but it is a measure that is in the bill that is being debated around climate change and global warming. The Senate has a version that is also moved out of committee at the federal level that's being looked at. And Florida seriously considered it last legislative session, but the Florida House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House, and people like Dean Cannon, who's a member of the House, basically held the renewable energy hostage, the proposal for renewable energy hostage, in an attempt to try to get oil drilling off the coast passed. And so what happened was it did not pass. It passed the state Senate, but it did not pass the House of Representatives because some of the House members were trying to, again, hold it hostage. And so we did not get it passed last time. We remain optimistic that it can be passed in the next session, but again, the oil drilling issue, some members of our elected officials want to combine the two issues, which we think is a real mistake.
Stephen, it was interesting you mentioned that there is actually no need for the nuclear power plants, because every now and then we'll be told that we need all this extra power. So obviously that's a myth that's going to be played on in order to sell the idea more to the public. When we were just talking to Sarah, she said that Florida is unique in the states for wanting to build four new nuclear power plants. So what is it that makes us so behind progressively or environmentally that something like that is being pushed through here or trying to be pushed through opposed to other states?
It's a combination of things. Florida, when these plants were originally proposed, was riding an unsustainable bubble of development and speculation in the real estate market and growth that has dramatically decreased in the past 18 months. And most thoughtful people feel like while the economy of Florida will recover, it will likely not recover in the same way that it was functioning in the past. And therefore, some of the projected need that was used to justify these plants a couple of 3 years ago when they were originally being brought forth is likely never to materialize. The other thing that has happened is that the current administration and other leaders have set into motion through the economic stimulus package and some of the policies that are being enacted since the last election some very serious programs to reduce demand by encouraging greater energy efficiency in appliances, in home and office construction and building, and in industry. And these will continue to pay dividends down the road in reducing the need for future demand. Florida had also a very high what's called reserve margin, where the Public Service Commission required a very high level of excess power being on the system, and that was also fueling the desire to build these plants. All those things now have changed the scenario. The other situation is that the Florida Public Service Commission basically made some very correct decisions a couple of years ago about closing down plans for building some coal plants. And the utilities quickly rushed to fill the space once those coal plants were canceled to say, well, if we can't have the coal plants, we got to have the nuclear plant. And instead of looking at how renewable energy and energy efficiency and the changing economic situation would basically change their planning scenarios because the utilities get rewarded greatly by moving these very large assets into the rate base and getting a guaranteed rate of return. They are pushing very hard for these plants to be brought online, and that way it helps expand their business model into the future, whereas energy efficiency and renewable energy tends to force them to look at a little bit of a different business model, one that isn't so based on growth and one that diversifies the mix and forces the utilities to have to deal with multiple types of generation. And so this is really the last holdout of, I think, an old way of utility operation where you have a vertically integrated utility that is monopolistic and controlling, and a public service commission which until very recently has been way too cozy with the utilities, and now some of that is coming out in the recent articles. And so we think that the ground may be shifting under their feet. We're hopeful.
That's good, Stephen. That's very positive, but we are out of time.
Okay.
Well, Stephen, thank you very, very much for calling in. We've been talking to Stephen Smith, the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And for more information on the issues that you're dealing with right now, listeners can go to cleanenergy.org, which is your website.
Correct.
Okay. Well,
thank you for the opportunity.
And please keep us posted on what you're doing.
Certainly will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.